So Jesus called the people to him. He said, come around. I'm going to talk to you. And it says that he called the people with his disciples. So what he was about to say wasn't just for the disciples or those in active ministry, but he said, I want to talk to all the people. I want all of you that have been following me around, I want to talk to all of you. And he said these words, whoever desires to come after me, if you have a desire to follow me, if you have a desire to be my follower, then you need to hear these words. Because a decision has to be made if you're going to be a follower, if you're going to be a disciple, if you're going to be an apostle, if you're going to be someone who's going to follow me, then you have to make a decision. Let him deny himself. And how many know that if human beings were the same then as they are now, he lost about half the crowd when he said the word deny, right? Deny yourself. We don't like to deny ourselves, do we? We don't like to do that. We go into an ice cream store and we see the, all these varieties. And we say, why do we have to just stop with one? That's why they made those tiny spoons. So we could taste everything. Come on, amen? We don't like to deny ourselves. So maybe he lost half the crowd. Let him deny himself and take up his cross. And that's where he probably lost another group. Because they knew what the cross meant. They knew what the cross was. It was called in the Old Testament the torture stake. It was the means by which the Romans executed prisoners. And they had perfected the art of crucifixion. They knew what the cross was. It was rough. It wasn't smooth and nice like this one behind me. It was probably rather like that one made out of old weathered 2x6s and had splinters and scars, and it was heavy. So he lost probably some of the crowd's attention right there. And then he said, follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. So Jesus really pared it down. Because he wanted to be sure that those who decided to follow him understood that it was not going to be a picnic. However, he would assure them that the price would be worth all of the sacrifice because eternity was in view. Amen? Eternity was in view. And so, how many of you have I lost already this morning in this introduction? Say, don't talk about denial, Pastor. Don't talk about denying stuff. Don't talk about cross-bearing. Don't talk about, that kind of stuff. Just pat us on the head and say, follow Jesus and everything will be fine. And you'll have all the money you need and all the fame you need and all the comforts you need. And life will be wonderful and then you'll go to heaven. Well, I'm sorry. If I told you that, I'd be lying to you. How many know that? Amen? The road to Calvary is rough enough. But when we get there and we let our burdens down and we lay our sins down and we are forgiven, the road from Calvary out into the world sometimes can be just as rough. But the good thing is knowing that our sins are forgiven and that no matter what happens on that road to following Jesus, we're going to be with Jesus in heaven someday. There's a great reward. Amen? There's a great reward. Take up your cross, he said. Verse 35, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Said, where is the balance of that? If you gain the whole world and everything with the world and you lose your soul, something's wrong with that picture, he said. If you think that the world and all of its wealth and fame and all of that is worth your soul, he said, you're mistaken. The soul is more valuable than that. And how many know today, every one of us have a soul here today. How many know that, right? I didn't say you had soul. I said you have a soul. Come on, amen? All right. Some of you have soul, and some of us wish we had soul, but all of us have a soul. And the value of that soul is nothing to be compared. The value of that soul is so much more than anything the world has to offer. And that's the appeal of the gospel, especially to those who have lived in the world and tasted the world and tried the world and lived according to the world's standards, and it has left you disappointed, you understand the value of the soul is so much more, and we choose the way of the soul. Amen? The way of the soul. Verse 36, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, loses his own soul? Verse 37, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will you give in exchange for your soul? In the Old Testament, will you sell your soul for a mess of pottage or a lentil soup because you're hungry? Will you sell your soul to the devil in exchange for being able to have the Yankees win the pennant in an old movie that some of you that are older will understand and recognize? You know? Yeah, I didn't want to say that cuss word in church, Randy. Sorry, I embarrassed you. What will you sell your soul for? What would you give in exchange for that? The soul is a precious gift from God. In the book of Genesis, it said, God created man and woman from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into them the breath of life, and they became a living what? Soul. They became a living soul. That's who we are, because of the breath of God inside of us. The precious breath of God. When God came down to earth and knelt at his creation and kissed the first human beings and breathed into them the breath of life, that's what made them a living soul. We have the touch of God on our lives. Verse 38, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. That's really what it gets down to. Jesus says, when he started talking about denying self and picking up the cross. And the end result is, will we be ashamed of the Lord, or will he welcome us into his heavenly home? And that's what we're striving for. We're striving to enter into our heavenly home with the Lord Jesus Christ. We really are. But between now and then, we have crosses to bear. And so this morning, in just a few moments' time I have left, I want to talk about don't forget your cross. Now, some people, when we talk about taking up their cross, you think of an infirmity in your body, or you think of some problem that you have in your life. And that certainly could be appropriate. We talk about bearing crosses in that regard. You know, I have something that has happened to me as a child, and I bear that as a cross. Or I have something that happened as an adult, as I bear that as a cross. And that could be applicable. But what I want to talk about today is the fact of following Jesus Christ. If we are going to be a devoted follower of Jesus, we must pick up our cross and follow him. Amen? We must follow him by picking up that cross. Now, that whole idea of taking up your cross is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, twice in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and maybe others it refers to it. In the book of John, you don't see those exact words, but it's implied that we should take up our cross. But in the book of Luke, the passage that parallels this, Luke says you have to pick up your cross daily. Daily you have to pick it up, indicating that there is a possibility that we may lay it down at some point. Maybe it gets too heavy. We don't want it. It's too rough. And then we change our mind and say, no, 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 I have to pick it up. Every day when we wake up, we've got to remember we've got a cross to pick up if we're going to follow Jesus, right? Come on. Get with me. It doesn't get any better than this, and we offer no refunds to the offering. All right? Every day we have to make the decision, are we or are we not going to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Are we going to pick up that cross and follow him? What does the daily cross look like that Luke refers to and that Jesus speaks about? What does the daily cross look like? Well, one, I think we have to look at how we live. When we talk about picking up our cross daily and following him, it really speaks to how we are living. What kind of life are we living for Jesus Christ? Are we living a life that demonstrates the resurrection power that we sang about this morning? Are we living a life where people can see Jesus reflected in us? How many know that's what we need to live, right? Right? But sometimes that's hard to do, especially in the culture that we live. Thus, verse 38, if you're ashamed of me in this adulterous and sinful generation. Jesus described that generation he was in exactly right. And that's the generation we live in today as well. How do you live out that life for Christ without being ashamed of Jesus, without being ashamed of what he does? Cheryl and I were in a different city yesterday. And we were in an area of the city that is, I think, needless to say, it's probably one of the most liberal areas in our state. And that's saying a lot because we live in a very liberal state. And we were surrounded by what, in my opinion, was the description Jesus said, the adulterous and sinful generation. And as we were there, we found a little place to eat lunch. No one else was in there, which worried me a little bit. But a man on the street recommended it. And so, you know, if a guy on the street recommends it, diners, drive-ins, and dives go there, right? So we went, and to our surprise, it was probably some of the best food I've eaten in a long, long time. But when we were there, we stopped to pray over our meal, as we always do. That doesn't bring any applause to us. It's just what we've decided to do as followers of Jesus Christ. No matter where we're at, where we eat, we stop and pray over our food. And so we did that because we, Cheryl and I, are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and nor should any of us be. Amen? Neither should any of us be. How do we live? What does the daily cross look like? How do we talk? That's another gauge by what it looks like to pick up the daily cross. If we're carrying a cross around, it ought to affect the way we talk to people. It ought to be the way we speak to people. I'm convinced. Can I say it again? I'm convinced. Did you hear me? I'm convinced that if Christians would just follow the admonitions of Ephesians 4:31, we could make a difference in the world in which we live when it says, be kind one to another. Just that one little thing right there. If we could just master the art of kindness toward other people, not just Christians and not just unbelievers, but everybody. If we could just be a little more kind and in Ephesians 5:1-2, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. Kindness and forgiveness, we could rock our world. Come on. We could rock our world. And folks, I'll tell you, that's just such a simple, simple thing. But that's what the daily cross looks like. You can read that later in Ephesians. It also affects, that daily cross affects how we pray. It affects how we pray. When we're carrying a cross every day, we're praying not only for us, we're praying for others, but we're praying somehow for the strength to carry that cross. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? We're praying for the Lord to help us to be the best followers that we can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do we fail? We fail often. I don't know how many of you watched the royal wedding. I hadn't planned to watch it, but Cheryl enjoyed it, so I turned it on for her. And I went about my business, but I kept watching every now and then looking. And I don't know if you saw the bishop that preached. How many saw the bishop that preached? Is that pretty powerful? I invited him this morning, but he was busy. But what I read this morning was a fellow bishop commenting on his message. And what he said was simply this. He said, they'll never forget that message at that wedding by that bishop. And about the power of love and about the power of helping and reaching out to others. But he said, if you want to hear more like that, why don't you go to church tomorrow? This was written on Saturday. And he said, you know, we come from the Episcopal persuasion, and you can go to an Episcopal church if you want. But he said, if you'd rather go to the Baptist or the Pentecostal or the Methodist, go ahead. Just go somewhere to church. But he said, if you're expecting to hear that bishop's sermon, you probably won't hear it. And if you're expecting to see perfect people in that church you go to, you won't find them. But what you will find in the church you go to is a group of people who have decided to follow Jesus Christ and do their best to live out what Jesus Christ taught us. And you will find people that are imperfect and fail, but they get up and try again. And I said, amen, brother, amen. Because that's who we are, aren't we? That's what daily following the Lord. Daily picking up the cross means we get home from our day and we lay our cross down and we say, oh, thank goodness. But we get up in the morning and we lift that cross up and say, we've got to carry it out there today again. Now, sometimes we may want to say, I think I'll leave my cross at home today. Don't leave your cross at home today. Like American Express used to say, don't leave home without it. Come on, amen? Don't leave home without your cross. And I'm not talking about the one you wear around your neck or on your lapel. Those are nice. But I'm talking about the daily cross we have to pick up, which is our decision to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Now, there is a cost to picking up the cross. There's a cost. Let me describe it to you. And you already know this. If we're going to live for the Lord, then there's going to be a price that we pay for trying to live out the gospel the way Jesus intended. Number one, if we're going to take up a daily cross, as Jesus said, then the cross will leave scars on the ground as you carry it. And the reason is because crosses are heavy. I wanted a cross this morning that I could illustrate, but I didn't have time in my schedule to prepare one. But if you could imagine carrying a cross on your shoulder and having that cross as big as one of these, obviously carrying it throughout the day, it's going to slump and you're going to have a skid mark as you pull the cross. We start out carrying the cross, but we end up pulling the cross. And it leaves a scar mark on the ground. Why? Because it's a heavy cross. Jesus didn't pull any punches when he told the people, look, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow after me. He didn't pull any punches. It's going to be a heavy cross. And I want to tell you, if you hear a preacher say, or you hear a teacher say, or you hear a Christian say, ah, the cross is nothing, pick it up, God, you know, you can name it, you can claim this thing, put it on your shoulder, it'll be an easy road. You can count that they had something for breakfast that wasn't cereal. Come on. The fact of the matter is crosses are heavy. That's why Jesus, carrying his cross to Calvary, fell underneath its load, and they had to conscript Simon to come and help him carry his cross because it is heavy. It's a heavy cross, but we must carry it. Secondly, the cross, the daily cross, will scar your hands and your shoulders as you carry it because it is a rough cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross for the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners was slain. You've heard the song before. When that song first came out by the Southern Gospel Quartets, they began to sing it, and the churches went, bleh. Churches didn't like that song. You know why? Because it was too modern. The old rugged cross? Too modern? Yeah, they didn't like it. It took a while for it to catch on. It was a contemporary song. But I'll tell you, did it catch on? Amen? It's a beautiful song. The cross will scar your hands and your shoulders. It's what that song talked about was the old rugged cross. As you carry that cross on your shoulders, it is a rough cross. It's a heavy cross, and it's a rough cross. And the third thing, as you pick up that daily cross, it'll leave splinters. Because being a rough cross, it's a painful cross. And sometimes during the day as you carry that cross, not everyone's going to appreciate that you're living for Christ. And they may say things to you. They may do things to you. They may scoff at you. And as you carry that cross, it's heavy. It's bruised your shoulders and it's left some splinters in the side of your face and your shoulders and your hands as you bear that thing. And those remarks can be cutting. We've got to keep hold of that cross. Because the worst thing in the world we can do is to pick up that cross and decide at the end of the day, this is not worth it. It's like Jesus said, the plowing the field, if you look back, you're not worthy. We can't look back, folks. We have to pick up that cross and we have to bear it daily for the Lord. Amen? Boy, Pastor, you just kind of blew it today. You're preaching this really negative sermon and people want something nice and light and frothy. And well, go to Starbucks and get whipped cream if you want that. The truth of the matter is God's people have got to carry our cross. But you know, it's worth it. It's worth it. Let me read 2 Timothy, please, verse 1, or chapter 1, verses 8 through 12 as we conclude. 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 12. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. I'm numerically challenged. 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 12. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Remember what Jesus said in Mark? He said, whoever's ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of him at the end of the world. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, the words of Paul, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. I'm carrying a cross, and it hurts, and it's heavy, and it's rough, and it's painful. But I'm carrying this cross for this reason. I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Praise God. Can you say those words with me? I am not ashamed. What's that thing hanging off your shoulder? It's a cross. What's that thing dragging along the ground? It's a cross. What's that thing leaving splinters in your hands? It's a cross. It's my decision to follow Jesus wherever he leads and whatever happens. For I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Praise God. In other words, I'm convinced that someone's going to help me carry that cross. And when it becomes too heavy to where I think I can't take another step, all of a sudden that invisible hand of Jesus lifts it and helps us and we finish our race because he helps us carry our cross. Amen? Amen. Would you stand this morning? Father, we thank you today for this wonderful service that we've enjoyed with God's people. We thank you for everyone that is here today. I thank you that so many in this audience have chosen to take up their cross and follow Christ. And they're not ashamed of the gospel. They're not ashamed of Jesus. And they're determined to live lives of kindness and love and mercy and forgiveness, because that's what cross bearers do. But if there's one here today, if there's two here today, if there's three here today that have not yet decided to follow Jesus, maybe they look at the cross and they laugh at it because it's kind of funny. And yet in their heart of hearts today, they say, oh Jesus, I want to be a cross bearer. I realize that I've tried the world and everything in it, and it has not satisfied the God-shaped hole in my life. The only thing that will satisfy that is Jesus. And if you're here today and that's you, my friend, that's you today, I invite you at this moment right now to say, Jesus, come into my life. Fill the God-shaped hole that only you could fill. I choose this day to pick up my cross. I want to be a follower of Jesus. Say in your heart of hearts, I'm sorry for my sin. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you, Lord, to make me your child and help me to bear the cross, to daily follow Jesus, and I know you will. I thank you for loving me and dying for me on that cross so that I would have the strength to bear mine. If you're here today and you've prayed that prayer, Accept the Lord into your life and become that cross bearer. If you're here today and you are weary with the cross, you're not sure it's been worth the cross, you get humiliated sometimes, you get spoken about sometimes, people condemn you sometimes for being a cross bearer, I pray for you now, Jesus, give them strength today to keep hold of the cross and not let it go, not lay it down. Lord God, because the reward will be out of this world. And others who have made fun of them, others who have humiliated them, will also come to carry a cross because of their testimony. I pray for them in Jesus' name that you would help them. And finally, Lord, for those who are at the point where they need that unseen hand to come, Jesus, lift that cross and help them carry it the next step of the way, the next mile of the way. Give them the strength they need to be that follower of Jesus Christ. Help them not to be afraid, to deny themselves, to take up the cross and follow after Jesus. It is, in fact, the best life that we could ever live. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You believe that? Would you clap to the Lord and say, thank you, Father, for the cross. Thank you, Father, for the cross. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed, and if not before, we'll see you next Sunday in God's house. Thank you for coming to church today. God bless you.